is Tuesday, December 27th, 2022. It's about 6:30 a.m. and I am en route to a Honda car dealership for, I've got a Honda Fit I bought in 2019 when I first, within a month of my relocating to the islands here. It was on account, well, a couple of reasons. One is my mom totaled, or at least the car was considered a total that she used. I'm not sure, she was just driving it once there in Southern California and hit some cinder blocks. And so I got, it wasn't worth that much. Maybe I got $2,500 back from the insurance company. I had almost 300,000 miles on it because of my these long travels I would make to Joshua Tree and the San Gabriel Mountains, 120 miles one way, just to get to somewhere that's beautiful and out of cellular range, which is really very hard to do. And so I would do that weekly, or more than weekly, on my vacations. So I got money from that, and then they wanted the car rentals here in the islands were, oh my God, I mean, they wanted almost $2,000 for 1 month of some car. And it's like, you know what? Forget it. So between saving money on car rentals and, because I was going to wait until Hawaii offered me a job before I bought a car, but I didn't. I made the commitment. I was, you know, whether or not they offered me a job, I was going to stay, and then that would have been a real shit show, you know, having to work as a driver for Alamo Rent-A-Car, or I don't know what I was going to do. Work in hospitality. Everyone around here works in the hotels or some kind of tourist support personnel, and I didn't really want to do that. Wasn't paid as well. Didn't have the benefits that you get with a state job. So what it was, the holdup was my not being released from my employer in California. In fact, they even challenged my credential. I gave them all my medical information saying I needed to. Well, I mean, it's a tough sell, you know. Hey, I need to leave this job in California because I'm going to be healthier in Hawaii. And they weren't buying it. And, but I sustained the challenge, gave them all this, you know, sad stories about sleeping pills and stress, and EMF sensitivity, yada, yada, yada. And so the credential board in California sided with me, so I still got my credential, which wasn't necessary to teach here. I was told that they would take me even if I was stripped of my credential in California, so I was very happy about that. The guy who made that decision, I knew many, many years ago, back in 2000 or so, you know, 20 years earlier, when I was in doing some union work, and we had some problems with our principal, and I was the grievance rep at the time for my school, and even though I had a problematic website, a lot more personal stuff, sexual stuff, all sorts of stuff was on a different named website. And even though he was aware of that, and it was a problem for the deputy superintendent at the time, this same fellow, awesome guy, he signed off on having me come back. So part of that's a vote of confidence. The other is just the desperate straits that this far-flung employer is in, trying to provide a first-world education or a first-woke, politically correct education in a very expensive location, and the pay, you know, let's say it's 30% higher cost of living here than California, and cost of living is 20 to 30%. Well, the pay is 30% less, so the differential is just like, I don't know, 20 to 40 grand less or more per year you actually have to live here because of the, you know, compared to California. But it's beautiful. And they're not spraying today, which is like, thank God. You know, they've been spraying the hell out of this place, and I've been just sheltering in place in my rental, turning on my four Winnix HEPA air purifiers, having just a couple of windows open, at least where the prevailing breeze comes through. I keep a couple of windows open there with my four air purifiers on, two by the window, and then at other locations in the room, on blast if necessary, even though it's high. The Winnix has their second to high setting is not nearly as high as the high, so usually at night when I'm sleeping, I have them on high. I'm probably suffering some hearing loss because of that, but I like to know that my air is being filtered of this shit in the air, but it's not there now. And I'm in Mauna Loa and Mauna Kea, where both full of snow from a storm, a windstorm primarily, and then some rain and some lower temperatures briefly last week, Monday, maybe some Tuesday. So they're pretty to look at. Apparently there was some hail on Oahu, which is symptomatic of geoengineering. I've no doubt that they were throwing chemicals into the mix, you know, these nucleating material that causes a rapidly cooling chemical reaction, drawing moisture into itself and becoming super cooled, even though the prevailing, this is how you can get, I don't know, I forget the name of the chemical or chemicals they use, but it allows the geoengineer folks, the terraformers, the fallen ones, you can have snow now when it's like 50 degrees out because they're using it doesn't last long on the ground, but it can fall, and usually it's hail balls from way up there. They're faking it, and they do. What's to report? It's been hard. I'm teaching older kids, writing, reading, and I'm teaching a fair number of general education kids with attitudes about, you know, some of them are wannabe gangsters, parents that have had run-ins with the law enforcement, real oppositional disorders. It's warning me. You know, I prefer working with kids with what you call functional academics needs, you know, simpler academics. I'm having to teach, I don't know, you know, Fahrenheit 451 and geometry and all sorts of stuff. And it's just like, oh my God, it's just a pain. Because I'm not able to do it really well, at least the math. Math is hard to do well for me. I just haven't had much experience teaching math at that level, but I'm doing the best I can. It's been stressful having to buy a lot of food reinforcers for these kids, and they want hot Cheetos, as did the kids in the Coachella Valley area, chocolates, high quality, you know, truffles, whatever it is, Cheez-Its, these things I buy at Costco. And so, you know, between the fuck yous I'm tired of hearing fuck you said to me, and then my daily, nightly trauma. I'll get to that now. And by the way, this is a tough group of kids I've got, and apparently they are warming up to me, and I'm one of their favorite teachers, but it doesn't mean you're treated well at all. And it doesn't mean it's not hard. So, anyways, it's all a blur. I uploaded a page I'm working on now called, Succubus Investigations 2022 to 2023. So it's going to be a landing page for blog posts, journal entries, and little narratives on different topics related to what I'm dealing with. And it's sad. I should have been rid of this thing, this situation. Well, it should have never happened, but I said no to God. And you're not supposed to say no to God, you know, when a request is made. And that's a whole nother subject of free will on the spiritual path. You know, how much free will do you really have? Apparently we have a lot more free will than, the power, what do they call it in theosophy? The powers, the seraphim, the angels, all these celestial bodies, subtle entities. They're all the way down to, crystals, which apparently are, called demons or diamonds, daemons, but the crystals are apparently alive. They're the lowest living life, you know, life form. And all these things are doing what God tells them to do. There's no free will, and humans have free will, and they're able to experience or embrace, embody just about everything that the rest of the celestial realm can. Now, we don't see it very often, and I would imagine that, this spiritual auto-combustion that I've described, as an intuition, that pretty much, I'm willing to wager 99% certainty that it's possible that a human body can be so conductive, transmittive, so incarnating of spiritual force, prana, subtle energy, psyche, kundalini, that it can break the material bonds of the body and be liberated directly as light. And I would say that would be like becoming the sun. It would be like a solar expansion. And so, you know, people say we have, you know, we're in the realm of suffering. It's the realm of spiritual testing, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, yes, it's all that. It's pain, it's suffering, it's all of that. But it can be, it is so much more than that. It is everything. It's a proving ground, testing ground, but it's also a place where you can gain, I guess you call it, permanent release. I'm not sure how I feel about reincarnation. Yeah, you would think that, oh, I'm a high being. I was definitely doing the right thing the last few lifetimes. Well, you know, I don't know. I have not had a single intuition or resonance with this notion of incarnation. And it's like, you know, it's a lot to say that. Who am I to question the Buddhist tradition or the Hindu tradition, etc.? Maybe I'm just in a place where, like, incarnation just feels irrelevant to me. So maybe that's where I'm at. You know, maybe I'm had really zero need to come here. Maybe I was and am just some kind of a subtle being that decided to embody briefly here for the benefit of humanity. I mean, who knows? I mean, that could be the case. I don't know. I don't know the range of decisions, or I don't know what God's up to, really. You know, that's God doing what God does. For me, I don't have any recollection of past lives, and if I were to become enlightened, maybe I'd know more then. And then maybe that knowledge is not, you know, is not made available to everybody on the spiritual path. So maybe it's just information that might be true for me, but not information that I will be revealed to me. So who knows? But so the human body can be liberated here. So I don't buy this idea that we're here to suffer, or that there are lots of problems that don't have workarounds, that don't have solutions here. I don't believe that. This is a realm where everything can take place. That's what God intended, and if it doesn't seem to be going well for a lot of people, well, there's things that can be done about that. That is a correction that is in our hands, in our capacity to make. I say no, God, no, I don't want the Holy Spirit dwelling in my chest and body. I don't want any heightened energy in me. And this was directly after I kicked out. I was broadsided. I had no idea that this was possible. But that girl, that 14-year-old girl, merged her soul or psyche. I still don't know. I mean, it's a very important part of her, and what she possesses outside of me on the subtle level, I'm not sure. I know she's got a lot of energy around her. But this, the identity that merges of hers, that merges with her partner, is that really her? You know, I mean, I don't really know what's going on with that. This ability to have an astral projection that's integral to who you are. It's part of her developmental makeup, and without being able to really talk and get a girl like that to inquire or to reveal what's going on with that, you know, for me, I just, you know, it's like spirit's all here. It's me. It's around me. I'm not going elsewhere to have heightened experiences. It's all occurring around and through and in me, in this body. This body is like the locus, the focal point. And so I don't feel that any of my identity is tethered or even drawn by some external agent. I think a woman is entirely is made differently, or at least this kind of a woman. And I don't really know what that's about, because it's foreign to me. But it's a permanent psychic union. While you're alive, I don't know what happens after you die, or the body dies. I'm not sure, but it was something I was open to, and I'm still open to it. You know, one of the reasons I've know, apart from fear and all this other stuff that I've dragged my feet, is I would like God to make this right. You know, if God is all powerful, and, you know, I'm sorry I kicked the girl out. It was overwhelming. It was, I was not ready for it. I couldn't ground her, blah, blah, blah. You know, because it wasn't safe for me electromagnetically. Yada, yada. But I dragged my feet because, you know what? Say, God, you know, how God, I feel like saying, God, how often do you have this happen, God? You know? Is there anything you can do about this situation? And it wasn't out of hatred for her. That's what's so... that's why when people talk about... I don't know if it's the deists or it's the Kabbalists. I mean, these, I don't know who these different people are, but they say that, you know, creation's amazing, creation's incredible, but it's flawed. There are people who say there's a flaw. It's not, there's an imperfection in it. And I don't know that that's the case, but sometimes you wonder. I was not supposed to go 25 years of harboring or being the recipient of a blessing by the Holy Spirit and not be the full selfless vehicle for that. That's not supposed to happen. And there's an argument that that's a sign of, you know, a moral weakness. You're trying to use that power for personal selfish aims. And that was never the case for me. I didn't take advantage of anybody. Although this girl landed herself in me specifically for the blessing she felt in me. You know, the idea, you know, the idea being for any girl like this is the guy's been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. The rest is just autopilot. You're going to join with that guy. If that guy's available, you're all about joining with him. And I don't know where it went from there. Because I the post I made, is it talks about her feelings of depression, suicide. I mean, just horrible, horrible feelings for like a week at a time. I was getting back in 2018. She had just turned 14. And that was all her to say that there was something amiss in our relationship. My capacity to sustain her, to fuel her. I rotted inside of an electromagnetic enclosure that was all metal and was not healthy for me at all. And you know, then why she would have sex with another guy, drag my astral being through all of that. I was tied to her. As I wrote, hogtied. I had no choice in the matter. I had no idea it was possible. You know? I had no idea what I was getting into. I knew energetically she was dangerous. Yeah. Because I was not grounded. Her force was unsettling. It was destabilizing for me in a variety of ways. And I knew that before she merged with me. So So it's rare, it's amazing, it's like, okay, so she's trying to kill me now, coming up on 4 years, with controlling my heart, racing my heart, off-beating my heart, causing pains here and there, everywhere. Blockages, strains, everything. And I'm kind of a wreck. I look like shit. I feel like shit. You know, I've been just barely able to manage my career. And I've had to relocate at great expense. I could be making $25,000 more a year in the job that I left, in a lot less work. It was work that there was more supports for it. I had more help, and I had better training for that particular job I had, and more experience. I had all the stuff needed, skills and materials. It was just turnkey. It was a piece of cake, and I enjoyed it. But I left because of what I'm dealing with here. I think I'm getting closer to just being ready to be done with this. Praise God, knock on wood, but I have not had sustained pain in my heart. But troublingly, since maybe early November or mid-November, I don't know, last month and a half, I have had frequent, ongoing pain in my left arm. And that's a sign of strain, some kind of heart strain, typically. And it's only when she's not paying attention to me, sleeping or distracted, that the pain goes away. And so I take this to mean that she is taking over and compromising more and more of my heart muscle. You know, her zone of control used to be like a size of a dime. And it's expanded to like maybe the size of a half dollar. But it seems like energetically she can control more of my heart than that frequently. And it's corresponded or it's been associated, this sense of like more of my heart coming under her control. My heart is getting weaker, it feels, mushier, less strong. Bit of a brain pause there. Just my heart is more under threat, and I don't think time's on my side. I need to make greater effort to remove her, and I'm tired of this. You know, it's not just the arm pain. So whenever I try to move it or I'm trying to carry something with the left arm, it's just great weakness in my bicep and in my like my forearm muscles. And that's not a healthy thing to feel. I don't like it. And then I'll just go to like yesterday, last night. I do like a 2-hour hike with 1,200 feet of elevation gain. It's good. Got some new running shoes that are very comfortable. A lot of cushion on the road, and the hike goes well. I get home, and within minutes of my standing at my computer, either dealing with an email or looking at some music for my mom. I made an Anita Baker CD. I'm making some disco CDs. I'm going to be putting some Frank Sinatra music together for her. You know, I collect music. It's like what I do in my pastime. Maybe I've got 60,000 songs or something, which is nothing compared to the millions that you can have at your fingertips through various streaming services. but I like to own my music. You know, it's my collection of things that have, and I don't like to pay for it. I don't like to stream it. I don't like to have to rely on wireless radio, you know, wireless energy for my music. But as I'm standing there, she's starting to rock my heart so hard, harder and harder, and it just became very hard to focus, and I became exhausted. You know, maybe heart rate of 90 or so, 95 beats per minute, and then off beats. Strong, heavy thuds, offbeats, all sorts of chaos. And what it's doing is she enjoys being able to prevent and to frustrate my ability to think. And she's successful at it. And it's not good for my heart. In this, so I had to cut short my, you know, the time I would have spent from like 6 to 7 or 7:30, you know, doing a variety of correspondences and even some writing. I can't really, in general, I can't write when she's doing that to me at all. And it feels like if I try to persist, if I persist in writing when she is causing such chaos in my torso, it causes a division in my body-mind. That's very unhealthy. So anyways, I'm able to fall asleep. I go to bed around 9. And, you know, she's causing all sorts of stuff. Pressures and blockages at my medulla, whatever. All this shit. I'm able to fall asleep. I wake up like at 9, I mean at 11 p.m. and she is just trucking along. She's probably asleep, almost asleep. And I'm at like, my heart rate's like at 90, more than 90 beats per minute. Not super strong, but it was a obnoxious vibration from it. Because it wasn't just a, normally when my heart beats, I can barely feel the vibration of it because my heart is a good heart. And when it beats, it doesn't set up a negative vibration in me. It's a positive one. And it's not strong. Because it's like a, you know, it's like a well, what's it called when you have a well-tuned mechanism. And that's exactly the opposite of what it is when a succubus is causing such a disturbance in your heart muscle. And so I had to, like, you know, look, it's 11 at night, you want to be sleeping, and it's horrifying to discover that all this time that you're supposed to be regenerating, being calm, healing, being ready, you know, storing energy for the next day, getting rid of toxins in your body, and your body is in the throes of a spiritual crisis. It has to stop. She can't be doing that all the time. And it seems very much that she is not going to be with another man or have significant engagements outside of, you know, that complicate her life until I'm dead. She knows that, because if she, you know, if she steps away from me, I start to pull away and my heart will go on the offensive. It's done that recently. Went like almost a week, and a couple of times, and she just had to claw her way back in me because she can't tolerate her spirit under attack or in a weak position in me. won't stay in a position of priority without her in domination, without her constant daily, or at least daily, but it's more often it's almost constant psychic communion with me in a dysfunctional manner. She has to be engaged and her nights have to be dedicated to me. She can't do this when she's with a man. I know that. I've been there, done that. She can't maintain her spiritual connection to me if she's fucking someone else. Or even in the same bed. I have to be her exclusive focus. So God, you know, so I figure, oh, that's a price God's, you know, she's got to give up 3 years of fucking so she can kill me. I mean, I don't know, but that's definitely what it feels like. Last week was horrific. It felt like 20 hours a day for like all week. I was under her thumb in various ways. She was not doing anything productive, and it was hell. Hell. We were out of power. You know, there was a windstorm, and I was out of power for 5 days. And so I was had to go to school for, you know, to recharge stuff, to have access to the internet. And I just was miserable. You know, everything. I was trying to be productive intellectually, and it just wasn't happening. I did a fair amount, but it was like pulling teeth, like wading through swamp. You know, thick, muddy, yucky, whatever, swamp or quicksand, whatever it is. I was working against a lot of resistance from her. But now, I think yesterday I felt, which partly is one of the reasons why I went for a walk, is I had some energy. If she's attacking me all day, I don't have the energy for a long hike. Usually, that's this. I'm wiped out. I'm exhausted. It's just exhausting. I usually only go for a walk when I have like a little extra energy. It's not like my body wants to do it. I've got a surplus that I want to direct somewhere, and that becomes a positive feedback loop where you are exercising more and more. You're generating more energy, more energy. You hunger for a higher vibrational state. As opposed to an indwelling negative entity, psychic entity, as draining, obstructing, blocking, draining, obstructing, blocking, distracting, causing pain, causing blockage, all of that, all fucking day long. And yeah, it's like maybe you can go for a short walk, maybe not. Maybe you just want to roll over and try to sleep or something, but that just becomes like a recipe for death. Because you just, you know, you have to stay active. The body must maintain motion, maintain some level of vitality. And so it just is much harder. And you want to eat and all that overeating and all those things. It just is a whole complex of negativity and death-oriented behavior when you have, a succubus eating at you all day long. So I'm very thankful. It appears that yesterday and today she's busy, so maybe she's got a job. Maybe someone said, hey, you know, if you're gonna be a loser, you gotta at least pay the bills, you know. pay some of your way. I think she's probably still living with her parents. And she's been asked to be more productive, which has given me relatively speaking, a lot more freedom yesterday and today. So praise God for that. But my night was fucked. So, so probably it took a half hour for the 90 beats per minute to slow down. And even then it wasn't great, but it reduced. And she's not attacking the rest of my body as much. It's like she's got such great control of my heart now. That's the heart is the linchpin. The heart is the fulcrum through which this struggle is taking place. It's the portal. It's the Amrit Nadi node. It is it. And so she doesn't need to tap and obstruct other areas of my body so much like she did just like a month ago. She's doing less of that, but she's got more control over the heart now. And as long as she is sexually, what's the word? You know, an ascetic. She doesn't. Sex is something she uses. I don't know. Look. I don't know how long. I'm hoping she can't go that long without sex, but if sex is going to rip her soul away from her, then she's not going to do sex. I think she's very dedicated to her. The spiritual kernel of herself that's in me, that ultimately is her guiding principle. It's not her body. Sad to say, but she's quite a spiritual force. And she will not tolerate my winning the spiritual battle. She will definitely give up a decade of sex just to have the final say on my soul. That's definitely what it looks. So I'm dragging my feet. I'm hoping God changes his mind. I'm hoping that God lowers the bar for my being able to liberate myself. And I'm having great difficulty pining away for God's grace, crying for this great bereavement of my missing the Holy Spirit. I don't. It was not great to begin with. I just want this thing, girl, out of me. She doesn't belong in me. And I don't have EMF safety. I don't think God gives a shit about some of these complications. You know, just look in nature. You die. You get wasted. You know, if you're not, you might be a fantastic tree, a fantastic lion or whatever, and it's like, you know, you got a pack of hyenas after you. You got a dude with a chainsaw. You're going to go down. And God's not going to stop it. It's part of this realm. Karma, cause and effect. The best among us will meet their demise. And in many ways, it's so sad. It's so sad is that both this girl and me, both of us are, my view, we're not spiritual failures, we're spiritual successes, despite what has happened. And what's sad is that God's not able to come up with a way out for us. It's like one of us has to go. It's either one or the other. The merging, the union, the good times are gone. They're not a possibility. And I don't really accept that, but you know what? I'm not God. I believe there should be a miracle available. But this is the realm of karma, and I kicked her out, but it wasn't out of hate. Although she was fucking another guy, and I have a big problem with that. But maybe she'd had no choice. I don't know. I don't know. What do I know? You know, she's 14, she had to liberate her soul to bond with me, and she couldn't fuck me because I was, you know, a teacher and a lot older than her, and she was a minor, you know, 14 years old. I'm all for, I'm not saying I'm self-destructive, but it takes me a long time to learn a lesson. I've been waiting. It seems like God's help is getting farther and farther away. And if I were serious about becoming free, I should have been successful earlier on. I think it was easier earlier on. And what I'm praying for is much for ephemeral. It's actually, I'm praying, hoping that this girl's life becomes very, very complicated. And she's just not able to, like, maintain focus on me. It's a reasonable expectation, you know. But I can't count on it. It's like, yeah, girl, get a job. Get a fucking job. And I think she's got one, at least the last 2 days. She has to become more distracted. I mean, look at me. I mean, I could barely think about this. I mean, all day long, I'm doing work for school. I am saddled. I am submerged by worldly responsibilities. I want her to taste some of that. Try owning my soul when your life is hectic and you've got bills and people are nagging you. Honey, try that. Try owning me in that circumstance. I am all about worldly commitments and I'm maintaining them. It is hell. It's a lot of work. And it, you know, dear, put yourself in my shoes. Please, put them on. Wear them. See how it feels. And just the only, regarding the final outcome of such a thing, I don't know. I believe that I do have a greater chance of breaking free from her in that circumstance. But as I experienced it, especially a week ago, where I'd gone 4 different days at school before the Christmas break, fasting until early, you know, the next morning. You know, I did 4 separate days. I did like a Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And in the course of that time, I was pulling away. Her heart control was becoming like minimal. When she tried to rock my heart, I could barely feel it. It was like, good. You're doing, I don't feel you for shit. You know, go ahead, rock away, fuck me over. And I'm not feeling it. So good luck ruining me. I can ignore this and do whatever I want. You know, it's like a flea. It was like a mosquito, you know, in my ear. But her kernel, her sanctification from God, whatever it is, that little piece of her in me was not really threatened by it, at least not yet. And in the course of 24 to 36 hours or something like that, from Friday till like the following Sunday morning, Friday evening to like maybe Sunday morning, I don't know, something like that. She was in a position of priority where she rocked my heart harder than she's done before or in a long time. It was massive, very concerning. And when I try to reduce it by contracting along my frontal line, lying down on my side, bringing my shoulders together, tightening my solar plexus, blah, 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 breathing exercises, it had almost no effect on moderating her, the force of her heartbeats. What did that show me? Well, it was unsettling. It was saddening because I had gone a whole week of basically austerities, selfless service to others. I was engaging, did great work with the kids, and fasting 4 days, and here this cunt is able to come in and absolutely body slam me and get me into a chokehold, and it's like I was down for the count. I don't know what led to her letting up, or my getting, you know, I don't know why she just didn't go for the kill shot. I don't really know what was going on, except it's, she's now focused on the heart now. And, but what was I saying was, it was very concerning that despite my austerities, my spiritual hard work, forbearance, she was able to, with great effort, claw back into me, little by little, with the breathing in the left ear, the false heartbeats in the left ear, and the controlling my heart, stronger, stronger, more forceful, more forceful, more strident, bump, 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 until it's, you know, until it's just rocking me, and it's almost, you know, it's feeling like it was me tearing my muscle. It was brutal. But she was able to claw back in. It's like, so I felt like, wow. It's just like one day, you have reversed an entire week's worth of effort on my part. So what can I do except I must continue fasting. And little by little, I need to be praying more and finding ways to do visualizations and bringing a sense of heightened energy, you know, descending through my crown, connecting to my chest and heart, whatever, and feeling these triggerings of energetic releases within me of a positive sort. Somehow I need to be, if not crying for God's blessing and forgiveness, then at least visualizing and trying to feel this heightened awareness that I want, for its fulfillment requires a clearing in my heart. That's kind of what I'm thinking of doing, is trying to get there. And that's hard. That'll be hard. And the fasting was hard last week, but I guess I'm fasting today. I haven't eaten since 8 o'clock last night, and now it's like 7:30. So for me, 12 hours is an eternity to go without food. But if you read up on fasting, you know that the first day or so or two are the hardest in terms of, I think it's getting into like a mode of, I think it's burning ketones. It's a different energetic mechanism that your body enters when it knows it's not eating anymore. And it's that shifting away from your stomach and food to burning another form of fuel in the body that I think guards or saves your muscle tissue and, it has a lot of healing dimensions to it, but it takes 48 hours to shift over into that. And it's a lot easier. You ought to be able to go 10 days or 12 days without feeling hungry, and without feeling weak. Give it a try. Even if you're not battling a Balrog, a psychic demon. What could be worse? What's the worst? It's a woman. What is the Achilles heel to a god man, what's the guy? What is a man's worst enemy? Well, it's his wife, all right? Who can do the most damage to a man? It is his better half. It is his life partner, and in my case, it is his soulmate. Kundalini came and helped me for like, God, for like half a day last week for like a block in like right around my right scapula. And then I said, you know, great, God, you showed up. You showed up. You gave me like, you know, 12 hours of like mediocre support. Thank you so much. God bless you, God. Isn't it great with when Kundalini actually takes an interest in this body that used to be, you know, important to it? Meanwhile, this girl has got, you know, is hounding me all day long and breaking all the rules, you know, in terms of violating and harming me and all this stuff, just monstrous. And yeah, who is the more dedicated, assiduous, obsessive, compulsive regarding, you know, I mean, well, she pledged herself to me, and boy, is she pledged. But it just, I was saddened by it. It's like, God, you know what, I'm getting so little help, and, you know, you want me to have faith in you, God, and trust in you, God, when you provide so little help, and then when you show up, you know, that first time back in April of 2019, it's like, great, you cause this tremendous vibration all over my body, pounding my chest here and there, but not my heart, not where you needed to go. You knew where you needed to go. So why did you go there? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so, yeah, I was very disappointed. And then you come up another time in July of that year. It's like causing this tremendous, like a hurricane of swirling energy rotating in my solar plexus and brachial plexus. She was to be spun out of me, and it was going to happen. But I was afraid that she was going to attack me or whatever. I didn't know what would be the consequence of a failed effort there, because she'd be causing a lot of pain in my heart. And so I decided, yeah, I wanted to, like, knowing that Hawaii felt safer to me, that I would try, I wanted to try again in Hawaii. Well, I wasn't given that same opportunity again. I was supposed to jump on God and trust God completely then, even though maybe it would have, I'm sure it would have worked, but God has shown up a number of times and has not done what I needed God to do. And so how can I have full faith and confidence in that when it's not been up to snuff, up to the job? Showing undue consideration of this girl's merits and her worthiness for taking my life. So I don't know. So I got a little bit of help last week, but it was pathetic. It was small. You know, not terribly grateful for it. So I'm supposed to be, you know, on my knees just begging for another intervention, when typically it's the support has been so lackluster. You know, it is what it is. It's hard to be like in the moment, ready to drop everything and just jump onto the God bandwagon when you have felt let down so many times. That's a test of faith. It's a very, very tough one. All right. 59 minutes now. That's about it. Over and out. May all who have listened to this message, may you be successful in your endeavors. May your spiritual dreams be realized. And may the vibration that flows from you, or radiates out from you, may it increase the coherence of others, the hopefulness and goodwill and spiritual aspiration of others. May you bring meaning and joy and depth and happiness to people around you.